Morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here. What we're going to try to do this morning is take a look at a number of drivers that are influencing corn production in the United States. And those are not only drivers in the U.S., they're world or global drivers. So we'll talk a little bit about the influence of population pressure, increasing pressure on soil water resources, dependence on U.S. for food security, increasing non-agricultural land use. That's a huge issue in the U.S. and other regions of the world, and then increasing non-food uses of this particular grain, corn. So let's take first number one, increasing population pressure. While we see that we have decreased population growth rate from 2% to about 1% in the last 40 years, we're going to decrease that population growth rate worldwide another cut that in half from 1% to 0.5%, at least that's what's predicted. But the real driver is, of course, population, total population still increasing to about 9.5 billion people by 2050, which, of course, drives food consumption. And what I have plotted here is the consumption of metric tons, million metric tons of total cereals, which would include use of food as well as feed, and then the use of cereals for food, and that and then the consumption of animals. And while the total use of grain is estimated by FAO to level off as world population levels off, increasing use in the diet of meat products will drive increased demand for grains for animal feed. And of course, this increasing demand for grains will cause increasing pressure on our soil resources. If you look at FAO's assessment of agricultural land, we're nearly 5 billion hectares of agricultural land, and it's no new lands are projected to be brought into production. Of that, about 1.5 billion hectares are considered cropland, and right now it's increasing over the last decade or more at about 0.2% per year, but most of this increase in these periods is in land that is substantially less productive than what's already has than what the lands that were in production before. And many of you are aware of soil degradation. Of the 1.5 billion hectares, it's estimated to be nearly 50% of all of these lands have been degraded by water or wind erosion and other factors, and then certain areas are more degraded, certainly more degraded than others. How do you account for that soil degradation in terms of productivity? We took a look at a recent publication by Weeb with the USDA ERS in 2003. I encourage you to read that. It's a fascinating assessment of the loss in productivity over time. And we just applied the factor that he came up with of 0.3% a loss in productivity per year over the last 40 years or so. We just applied that to the trend in cereal production per hectare here. So that's the unit area production, and then total cereal production worldwide. And you can see that by 2050, there's about 1,000 kilograms per hectare difference if you corrected for the 0.3% that could have been produced per hectare had we not lost that, incurred that degradation. Total production, again, you can see the difference there. You can also look at it from a perspective of if this is the trajectory we're on in total cereal production, about 3,700 million metric tons, we would have achieved that 15 years sooner had we not incurred, if you assume or agree with that 0.3% productivity loss. And of course, many countries depend on the United States for grain imports. The United States currently is providing 29 or nearly 30% of the imported grain worldwide, but the U.S. in fact supplies 60% of total world food aid, according to USDA. And then if we're going to continue providing grains for areas around the world, then obviously population will drive land use and use of our land for producing those grains. And the United States population is currently a little over 300 million people, projected to be 420 million people by 2050. And this is U.S. Census Bureau data. But if you factor in the lack of attention to immigration laws or the lack of those laws or adherence to those laws, and you factor in illegal aliens in the United States, it could reach as much or more than 500 million by 2050. And of course, that has a serious influence on the use of our land for producing these grains. And so all I've done here is plotted the amount of cropland in the United States over a long period of time and try to figure out, can we make any sense out of this in terms of loss of cropland? I agree that the variation is way more extreme than would enable you to put a straight linear extrapolation through that or linear line through those data. If you did, though, it would be an annual loss of 110,000 hectares per year rate of loss. And of course, that really doesn't make any sense. So I took a look at this last 10 or 15 years, and when one looks at just that period, it's about 600,000 hectares per year loss rate. Neither one are probably accurate, but we need to come up with some number if we're going to project what the ability of the United States is to produce corn to meet the demands. And so I went through the literature to try to figure out if there was a consistent number that one could find, and there isn't, so I had to make up one based on the data I could find. Here's some data from the Natural Resources Inventory Group out of USDA, and this is prime farmland, not total cropland. This is prime farmland. 1.3 million hectares have been converted in just that five-year period. That's 29% of the total land that was converted to non-farm use, which represents about 260,000 hectares per year of conversion rate. If you're interested in which states those are, they're in the South and the Midwest, and one of them is on the East. So you can see Texas leads the conversion to non-farm or prime farmland, Ohio, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania on the East Coast. So you can see Midwest and the South are the primary states leading the conversion. They represent about 40% of total farmland conversion to non-farm uses in the United States, those eight states. When we look at land use, it's pretty consistent in terms of land being used to added to urban resources, and you can see about a 350,000 hectare growth rate in urban land, but in rural residential land, it's about double that. And you can see here in just the last decade or more, it's really shot up. And that is the concern most communities are having is the loss of prime or total cropland to rural residential uses and not so much urban uses. Housing and Urban Development and the Bureau of Census did an analysis of these data to find out what lot sizes this conversion was occurring in. And it's not the little subdivisions with the quarter acres postage stamp lots. That's not the major consumer. About two-thirds of all the land converted to rural residential are in parcels of 4 hectares or 10 acres or more. That's the group that's consuming more of the farmland than these subdivisions. And that's not just folks going out for a little piece of heaven out there in their 40-acre ranchette. That's not only that. That's also industry and Walmarts and so forth going out and doing the same thing, parcels of greater than 4 hectares. So, again, let's take a look at the fifth factor, which is the increase in non-food use of crops. This is total corn production in the United States. That represents nearly about 285 million tons of corn, about 12 billion bushels for those of you who think in bushels. And then you can see non-food use. That includes feed for cattle mostly and other animals, as well as fuel. And this circle right here indicates a large increase in non-food use, and that's ethanol use of corn, which I'll point out in a moment. And then notice the influence of increasing non-food use as well, total production, and then what's happening to the end-of-year stocks, the lowest that they've ever been in the last number of decades. And exports are relatively stable, and so as world demand for grain increases, the United States will be increasingly dependent upon for grain, and that is projected to increase, as we'll talk about in a minute. But back to the ethanol issue, this is non-food or non-feed corn use, so that'd be cereals and high fructose corn syrup as well as ethanol, and there's the huge increase in the use of corn for ethanol in the last 5 or 6 years, and that's the ethanol curve, and that's the curve for other food uses. So that's a main driver. If we were still under the 2005 energy bill, which of course we're not after the recent election, but that bill said by 2017 we needed 133 billion liters of ethanol. That was the goal at a conversion rate of 416 liters per ton, metric ton of grain. That would require 320 million tons of corn. And under our current growth rate in corn production in the United States, that yield, that need would be reached in 2020. So again, basically we need to use our entire corn crop if we were going to produce that many liters of ethanol, which of course is not realistic and not sustainable. So let's do an analysis of these five factors and what would we need to do to increase corn yields per unit land area by 2050. And so I've got to make some assumptions here. This is the use current corn production acreage, and you can see we're sitting here around 30 million hectares of land used for corn production in the United States. So that's the number I've used. And then we use a linear projection through the trend in, or through the actual growth in yield per acre, or hectare, excuse me, as well as total production. So currently we're at about 9.5 metric tons per hectare in 2010, and then if you linear extrapolate that out, we're sitting there about 14.5 metric tons per hectare. Total production, we're currently sitting here at about 280 million tons, and if you do a linear extrapolation, we'll be out here just over 450 million tons. So again, to summarize, we're at 9.4 tons per hectare. We're going to go to 14.4 if we do nothing, but current technology gain. Our area is 30 million hectares. I'm going to say we'll be at 27 million hectares in 2050. I got that from using 400,000, not 600,000. I did a little less aggressive. 400,000 hectares of land lost per year times the 40 years is 16 million hectares lost. Currently, the United States has 20% of its production of cropland in corn. So 20% of that is about 3 million hectares. That's where the 27 million hectares in 2050 comes from. We're currently producing a little less than 300 million tons. Under our current growth, we'll be at 458, as the previous slide showed. So let's take a look at what those needs are. Our domestic consumption currently is about here. We need to increase that at least 50% or more. Ethanol, we're currently using about 112 million tons. Most folks are projecting that to be doubled by 2050 or more. And export is currently about 50 million tons, likely to be doubled by 2050 as well. And so somewhere in between 470, remember we're going to 458 under current technology growth, somewhere between 470 and 568 million tons likely will be needed, an average of about 520. So if you factor 470, which is just a little over our current technology growth rate, then we need to add 170 more million tons. If we retain 30 million hectares, that's only a 9% increase in production that's needed. But if we lose the 3 million hectares, we've got to increase it by 21%. And you can see if we need more corn than just that little bit extra on our current growth rate, these numbers ratchet up substantially. The better way to look at it is take a look at yield per acre, per hectare, so metric tons per hectare, and this is our current growth rate of about 1.117 kilograms per hectare per year. But if we needed another 500 million tons of corn, then we've got, and that would be that number per acre yield, that would be the growth rate we would need. That's a 50% increase in bushels or metric tons, kilograms per hectare. And then if we need to go up here, that would be if we lost 337, excuse me, this is if we kept 30 million hectares of land, and then if we lost the 3 million hectares to conversion to non-farm uses, we've got to double the current technology gain per unit land area to 0.225 metric tons per hectare. So again, we can meet these demands, but we've got to do some significant things in the United States and around the world. We've got to increase yield per, says acre, sorry, that's supposed to be hectare, from 0.11 to about 0.22. We've got to, around the world, in order for us to meet those demands, do anything and everything we can do to sustain and enhance productivity. And in the United States particularly, we need to look at using agricultural productivity factors in land use decisions. I don't know what my time is, but if we ran out, we can have some questions later.
Yes. Now, we'll have questions after the next session.
Okay. Thank you very much.